You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudet. Before we get into this segment, a note for our listeners, we will be talking about suicide prevention. You know, as the coronavirus forced people inside this past spring and asked them to isolate themselves from work, from loved ones, from friends, experts across the country raised concerns about the possible mental health crisis to come. So today, we are checking in with Lee Flynn, the director of the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline, to learn how the hotline has adapted during COVID and whether our mental health concerns from the spring have borne out. Lee, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Gemma.
So first off, I do want to say to our listeners that if you are struggling with anxiety, with depression, there really is help out there. So Lee, I would love for you to first share the phone number to the hotline because your phone operators are there to talk to anyone. And this is no matter what mental health issue they are working through.
Absolutely. The Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline number is 208-398-HELP or 398-4357. And exactly like you said, Gemma, we are here for everyone. A person does not have to be suicidal to call the hotline.
And I think that's critical right there, right? Because it is something where if people are, especially right now, feeling kind of anxious, you know, maybe depressed, they can call and get that help or be directed to getting the help that they might need.
That's true. And here at the hotline, we receive about 1,000 calls every month. And most of the people who call us are not feeling suicidal. They are in some type of crisis. And we really try to get the word out there that we want people to reach out and talk to us before they feel deeply in crisis that might also include feelings of feeling suicidal, rather.
So Lee, talk to us about how the hotline has had to adapt because of COVID. I mean, where are your operators working from?
Sure. So I started here at the hotline on May 1st. And before the governor's stay-at-home order, the hotline actually sent home our volunteer phone responders who take the calls out of concern for their safety. And if everybody remembers back then, I think most people would have thought that, oh, it might be a tough month or two and everybody will kind of isolate and then things will be normal. And of course, that didn't happen. So mm-hmm. we operated with a very small crew of employees. And then in mid-March, we brought the volunteers back with improved and increased safety protocols. And so since then, we've been operating with volunteer phone responders. But I have to say, you know, our phone responders are absolutely the lifeline of the hotline. And it's taking a toll. This is a tough time for everyone. Yeah. But again, we are here 24/7. And we really want people to call us if they need a listening ear. We are always here and we are always ready to listen.
I mean, and Lee, there's just no denying that even before COVID, Idaho was dealing with a serious mental health crisis. I mean, our state
exactly.
is consistently among the worst. Well, I mean, just look at our suicide rate for an example. And then, you know, we really do have a lack of mental health resources, especially in the rural parts of our state. That's just a couple of risk factors, right, that I named off for Idaho when we were going into this pandemic. So how concerned were you about this problem when COVID hit? And then you put social isolation on top of that.
Oh, very concerned. Like you said, and I think a lot of people don't realize this, so I'm really glad you mentioned this, Gemma. Even before the pandemic, Idaho was already had the fifth highest suicide rate in the nation per capita. So like you said, we had a problem before. We had a challenge with deaths by suicide in our state. So when the pandemic started, all of us were very concerned and we're still concerned. We are noticing that at this point, and this is based on data from the Department of Health and Welfare, Idaho is not at this point seeing an increased rate in death by suicide, which is good. But on the other hand, we are seeing anyone who's a clinician or, you know, phone responders at the hotline. One of the things that we're seeing is we are hearing it in people's voices. When Idahoans call us, they're reporting much, much higher rates of anxiety. People are feeling extremely anxious. People are involved in more interpersonal conflicts, and sometimes that includes domestic violence. And there's also, not surprisingly, you know, a lot of people who are feeling lonely and isolated. I would say one thing that we've noticed just really recently, and it's not enough to be a trend, but it's something we're paying attention to, is at the beginning of the pandemic, when a caller would mention COVID, they were speaking mainly about their fears and their anxiety. And now, just very recently, when people speak of COVID, we're hearing more anger and frustration in their voice. So I think that that's, you know, just from our vantage point, it seems like the pandemic is really weighing on people. And it's really affecting the well-being and the mental health of all Idahoans.
Well, and then, Lee, you put in for so many people, maybe even people who did not experience mental health issues before, because, you know, I remember talking before, as we were going into this and into the shutdown back in March, that it was like, I just said anecdotally, we're going to see more people having issues with anxiety and with depression who've never experienced it before, because there is, it's not just the isolation. For so many people, it's also like economic instability, right?
So you're absolutely right.
Are you seeing that as well?
We are seeing that. You know, we started tracking people, callers, when they would mention COVID. And I have to be clear, not every caller is mentioning COVID,
right.
But it is, but enough are that it's, you know, it shows the full picture. And yeah, we are concerned. It's a lot for people to deal with right now. And I agree. I think that there are a lot of Idahoans that were already experiencing challenges with their mental health. And there are probably a lot of Idahoans that weren't having struggles with mental health that now are experiencing maybe depression or anxiety for the first time. So it's a really tough time. And it's, you know, as we all know, it's unprecedented. We're all going through something together that we've never been through.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Lee Flynn, the director of the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline, about mental health issues here in the Gem State since we have been dealing with this pandemic. You know, Lee, we know that so many people here in our state are now working from home, I mean, me included, which for a lot of people who live alone, that means they're even more isolated, right?
Right. That's something we're aware of. And I think there's a couple things going on that cuts both ways. There are a whole lot of people that are isolated because they're now working at home. And that's a unique situation for many. And then the flip side of that is there's a lot of anxiety and a lot of burden on our essential workers, you know, whether they're healthcare clinicians, whether they're our phone responders, whether they're grocery workers. You know, that's a whole different experience that that people are having. So we really encourage employers to be checking in with your team. And, you know, if somebody doesn't seem quite right, reach out and ask them how they're doing. And if you need tools, again, the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline is always here. If you're not sure how to help someone that appears to be struggling, you're always welcome to dial our number and hand them the phone, or even call us and talk to one of our responders, and we can help give you tips on how to support you in helping the people close to you.
You know, so I'm curious. So we talked about the fact of people who are living alone and working from home, but then you also have folks with a family, right? Then it can be stressful with just work and family life, and you're trying to take care of your kids, and you're trying to do a Zoom meeting, and, you know, the list goes on and on and on. And so you mentioned employers, you know, being able to reach out to if they're seeing something, but are employers obligated to address these issues, even if the employee is not, you know, physically under that work roof anymore?
Right. I think that they have a responsibility, and I think that most employers care for the people that work for them and would want to be helpful. So again, you know, when for all of us working in suicide prevention, one of the most important things that I want to make sure I say is that a lot of times in our culture, people think that if you ask someone if they're thinking about suicide, that it will make them more inclined to harm themselves. And actually the opposite is true. if you think someone is struggling and they, you know, you see warning signs, they're talking about suicide or they're isolating or they're just not themselves, you know, certainly strike up a conversation with them. And it's important to actually ask them, you know, you don't seem like you're doing yourself and you seem like you're struggling. Are you thinking of suicide? And again, if that's too difficult for someone to do, the hotline is here. Please give us a call and our phone responders can help you navigate that situation and help you be able to support those near you.
So Lee, you mentioned a couple of warning signs that folks should be on the lookout for when it comes to suicide. One that struck me was you said if they're isolating, and my first thought was, okay, well, normally that would be a sign, but so many people are still isolating, right? I mean, I've even noticed even within my own friend group, right? You're not connecting as much, right? You're not. So how do you know it's just the darn pandemic or when it's potentially something more?
Yeah, that's a really good point, Gemma. Maybe a better word would be, since we're all trying to isolate to some degree, maybe withdrawal. You know, if you're calling someone or texting someone or, you know, plan to go for a walk, physically distanced, you know, if someone that you regularly relate with is not responding back, you know, that could be, it could be a sign they're busy, but it could also be a sign that they're struggling. So, I'd say look for all the signs, you know, but bottom line, if somebody doesn't feel, if they don't appear to be themselves, and then I'd also throw in just three risk factors too, that, you know, some other things to look for is if a person you think is struggling, if they seem to perceive that they don't belong, if they feel like they do not belong, that's important to pay attention to. And also a really big risk factor is if a person perceives that they are a burden to others, which of course could definitely be an issue in a down economy when people are losing their jobs. So if people feel they're a burden to others, that's a really big risk factor to pay attention to. And then finally, a third one is also, it's really critical to pay attention to if somebody has any of these risk factors and they have the means to carry out lethal self-injury. That's something, you know, so you know, here in Idaho, a lot of us have guns. And if somebody is struggling, you know, that could be, you know, that could be the start of a conversation about how are they doing and would it be okay if I stored your gun, you know, or guns for a while, or can you give me the ammunition, or, you know, can you give me those pills that you've been saving up? So, you know, we have to pay attention to many factors, but one of the most important is, does the person have the means to carry out, you know, lethal self-harm?
I think if there's anything we take away from this conversation, though, Lee, is the fact that it's okay to talk about it. Because
absolutely.
I know, you know, growing up and even in my early years as a journalist, we were told never talk about it, right? Mm-hmm. As you said, that it will make more people think about it or do it. And to just know that that is an absolute myth and that it is, that is critical that we talk about this.
It definitely is. And we can't say that enough. We have to change the culture around suicide and mental health and try to remove the stigma and make sure everyone knows exactly what you said, Gemma. We actually need to talk about this in order to be there to support the people near us and the people that we love.
And talk to your kids about it, too. I don't believe they're truly ever too young. I mean, you know, in age-appropriate ways, but it's okay to check in with them.
It is. It is. And there are specific resources through Idaho Lives. They focus, they're a project of the Department, Idaho Department of Education and Health and Welfare. And they've got materials specifically relevant for youth. So there are many resources out there. And if anyone has any further questions or wants more information, they can also check out our website. We have information on that. And that's another way that you can contact us as well if anyone has questions or is interested in training or any other resources that we may be able to provide.
We will make sure that we link all of those resources that you mentioned, Lee, onto our website for easy access for people. Before I let you go, will you give out that number again for the suicide prevention hotline?
Sure. It's 208-398-HELP or 208-398-4357. And this, anybody can call or text. And again, we are always here and ready to listen.
Lee, I want to thank you so much for this important conversation. We've been talking with Lee Flynn, director of the Idaho Suicide Prevention Hotline. Thanks so much for your time.
Thank you so much, Gemma. We appreciate it.
More Idaho Matters next.